League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show. We appreciate you guys being suspects and following along. With that being said, April on Twitter, a few on text message, saying something's up, can't hear anything at all. We had a little bit of a power outage. We looked in and Aaron was in a completely dark room for a few minutes.
His room just completely went dark for about, 5-10 seconds.
Regardless of that, we think everything is back to normal. So keep that in mind if anything happens.
You can always download that app.
Yeah, tell them how to do that, Nick.
Go to your local app store, search ESPN Houston, download that app, ESPN 97.5.
Aren't the instructions on our website too?
You can do it on the website. You can go to ESPN975.com. You can go and do it through your phone, your iPads, your touch screens, and download the app. It's pretty simple. You just click the app, and it just starts working. Like, you have to have no, like, you don't have to be tech savvy at all. It's pretty simple and straightforward.
For me. Yeah. Which is what you need. Wasn't doing the show, I could be listening to the show, is what you're saying.
Right. Right.
We do want to let everybody know, again, on Friday, we will be coming to you live from Nick's place. So if you...
Not my house.
Not that Nick. But the Nick's place where it's clean, it's got great food and drink, and all the games that you want to watch.
That's right. Over there on...
Rocky Ridge.
Rocky Ridge. 2713 Rocky Ridge, just off of Westheimer. Mm-hmm. Been there for quite some time. A great Italian sports bar. Great food. Like I said on the Charlie Palillo show, I've probably had 3 or 4 items outside the amazing pizza that they've had.
And calzone's amazing.
Everything is good. The calzone is great.
You, as you can verify from last year's listener party, the alcohol's pretty good there, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you were toastier.
No,
than,
I was. That was a fun party, though. Between that and the listener appreciation parties, man, those can be fun. But this past listener appreciation party, I did very well. I had more water in my system more than anything else.
Really?
I was responsible.
Well, then there's a...
Others, not so much.
There's a chance to turn over a new leaf all the time.
Trying.
Start over.
Trying to drink more water.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Trying to be like Joel.
That's right.
Who drinks like 3 gallons of water during the show only.
I do. Not only. All day long. I don't drink any... I have a coffee in the morning and then I drink nothing but water.
Yes.
And you can see where it's gotten me. But you know what? At the same time, I feel better. So... with an hour to go in the show, and we already have gotten through this power outage, we haven't talked about the Astros yet. Astros with a big game tonight simply because of the pitching matchup. I even saw ESPN promoing SportsCenter tonight saying, tune in to find out what happens when Justin Verlander takes on Charlie Morton.
Put some respect on the Astros' name, some national attention.
Yeah, you know what? Because what's ironic to me is, you know, with the Yankees playing the Dodgers in L.A. this past weekend, all the talk was from the players, the managers, the media. This has a real World Series feel to it. And then ESPN went in this in-depth thing about the Yankees and the Dodgers and how they could meet again in the World Series. And at the very end of it, they put up a graphic with the percentages for the teams in Major League Baseball to get to the World Series. The Astros had a 39% chance, and it was greater than both the Yankees or the Dodgers. So suck it. Stop. I mean, for all the whole fluffing you did for however many minutes that feature was on the Yankees and Dodgers, suck it, baseball. Suck it, ESPN. It's the Astros with the best chance. So this could be a good one tonight. I mean, Verlander against Morton should be great.
Yeah.
I was wondering, did Charlie Morton get his ring already?
I would imagine. I would imagine he did. I mean, why would he not?
Because
get
he signed as a free agent, and when guys have come back with other teams that didn't get their rings, they've had, impromptu, like, before the game ring ceremonies where, like, Reed Ryan and Jim Crane and Jeff Luno presented a ring to someone that came back with another team. And I don't know if it was Maldonado, but there was a couple of guys.
I think he got it last year when he came back with Pittsburgh.
Who came back?
Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. He got it last year because he was on the team.
I'm thinking that they wanted to get it.
No, I was thinking Musgrove was a Pittsburgh thing because I was there for when Musgrove got his.
There you go.
Yeah, I think he definitely got it.
But yeah, so he got his last year with the whole team.
I put the cart in front of the horse. I was already assuming that because of the percentages that our Astros are going to win it again. But should be a great matchup. Almost felt bad for the off day, even though I know that they've had a hellacious month playing nonstop. That off day stops the momentum because they waxed the Angels. They're doing what they're supposed to do. Now, a week ago or so when they were getting off that road trip and we were talking about a team that was scuffling, that was falling 3-4 games behind the Yankees for best record in the American League, are now tied with the Yankees. I think the Yankees won last night 5-4, so the Yankees are a half game up on the Astros but tied in the loss column. And they are right there within a game of the Dodgers. So again, that's why I am not watching the standings in the division. I continue to watch for the best record in baseball, and they're right there. So it's another big game for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big game for the Astros, just the Astros in general, going up against their former teammate in Charlie Morton, who obviously left and got paid. I mean, I think even as an Astros fan, you can appreciate Charlie Morton being on the mound, despite him not being in an Astros uniform. The 2 years that he's been in the 2 years he was a Houston Astro was very meaningful, obviously. And I mentioned this on Charlie's show, everything that he went through before becoming a Houston Astro. Not the best ERA. Definitely had an injury plague with hip issues and Tommy John surgery. So, I mean, I think everybody appreciates a Charlie Morton. And the fact that it's Morton, Verlander, like you mentioned, great matchup. Got to be excited. I plan on going to that game. I know Jose Partida will be there as well. I definitely plan on seeing this game in person.
I mean, here's the thing. When you look at it and factoring what you said, the Rays are in it too. They're in a three-way battle for the two wild card spots.
76 and 56.
They're right there with the A's. They're right there with the Indians. And so when you look at it and you start thinking about the fact that, look, for the most part, Stros are getting pretty healthy. I think Diaz could actually be back tonight, if not tonight, tomorrow. We know that Correa is rehabbing. Sanchez, right now, we're not even worried about. But then you look at the Tampa Bay roster, and they've had so many injuries, and they're so dinged up that they're a different team than they were when they were riding high for most of this season. So the Astros need to take advantage of that. And I think that on your point on Morton, he should get a rousing standing ovation. If it's not a standing ovation, he should get a great applause tonight. And because regardless of where he is now, he didn't leave by choice. He knew that the numbers were better, and he got a better offer from the Rays. But Charlie effing Morton is the guy that will forever be in the laurels of Houston Astros history for what he did in Game 7, what he did those years he was here. And they should always celebrate Charlie Morton, because I guarantee if you went, as you will, if you go in that clubhouse and you talk to the guys tonight that were there on that team with Charlie Morton, you'll find one guy that say a bad word about that.
I mean, you see Bregman, there's old video and old footage of them messing with Charlie Morton as he's talking to the media in the clubhouse. They definitely had that friendship, that family-oriented clubhouse with a great culture. You know, with the exit of Charlie Morton, they've been able to maintain that positive vibe and that positive culture that they have in the clubhouse. But Charlie Morton was a big part of that when they won the World Series. I don't think you can ever forget his performance at the American League Championship, Game 7, and then Game 7 of the World Series where he came in, I believe, in the final four innings and shut down the Dodgers. And so, I mean, he means so much. He means so much to this team. Plus, he's a good pitcher, so it's going to be a good outing. It's going to be a great competition between these two teams. I'm definitely looking forward to it. I don't see – and the other thing, when you mention all these injuries, a lot of these teams, Joel, with good records, like the Yankees, like the Rays, and you and Barry have made mention to this before, the Yankees don't feel sorry for the Astros and with the injury situation. They don't want to hear it. You saw the number of players that they put on the IL. The Rays are in a similar situation, but still able to pull off 76 wins and 56 losses up until this point. So, going to be interesting.
There's a team that everybody always rips on because their stadium is rinky-dink and just quirky and terrible, that they're always penny-pinching trying to save a dollar. But much like the Oakland A's, regardless of what you say about how they go about their business day-to-day and their finances, the fact of the matter is they went out and addressed a big need. Houston Texans, take note. At the end of all through last year, they were going with openers, except for Blake Snell, who ended up winning the Cy Young. But other than Blake Snell, it was a bunch of openers because they weren't they weren't content with their starting pitching. They didn't believe in who they had. So what did they do? They went out and got Charlie Morton. You know what he did? He put his name in the conversation with the other two Astros that are in up for the Cy Young Award in Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander. And that says something, because that tells you that they addressed a need and it's paid off for them. Because when you look at what they've been able to do, and they're still relevant with all the injuries that they've gone through, it's very impressive what the Rays have done. So
yeah, I see their injuries right now. Yanni Chirinos, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Jose Alvarado. I mean, there's a bunch of players that, you know, elbow issues, finger issues, a forearm issue, a ribs issue. So yeah, I mean,
I'm looking for it now, because I want to say that I read somewhere that the kid that was up for fighting for Rookie of the Year, Lowe, he's out too. They don't list him on the injury report, but he's been out.
He's out for the season.
Yeah, he's out for the season. So I'm saying the Astros might be catching them at the right time, as they've been dealing with a lot of the injury bug that the Astros are kind of getting over. So it'll be interesting to see how the series plays out. But again, obviously, home sweet home. So much better than that road trip where they were 4-6. They've righted the ship, and aside from bad uniforms, they look pretty good.
Yeah. So you're still sold on the fact that you didn't like those.
I didn't like them at all. I know Barry liked them.
The cat.
I didn't like them at all.
The hat. You'd rock the hat, though. We talked about it.
I thought the hats were good.
I like the top half, and my wife pointed out when we were at the game Sunday why everybody didn't like them so much. The white on the hat and the jersey were different. Was a different shade than the pants. So it got progressively darker as you went down. Yeah, the actual pants were like a shit. They couldn't get them the exact same white as the jersey. So if you look at it up close.
I didn't notice that.
It clashed a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. But
at least that's why she said she didn't like it. I like the look of the jersey.
Yeah, but females are more observant. They attention to detail more.
So like Baggy said, it looked like someone traded the Astros for a bunch of painters. But then you look at it, and from the perspective of the Angels, the all black head to toe. I don't know if you're a waiter or however you want to classify that, but I was looking at it going, you could have, like, if you talk about like the Diamondbacks back in the day when they had all the interchangeable parts, if you could have done black tops with white pants, and therefore you could have justified, the whole team would wear one of the other hats instead of just the pitcher, and you mixed it up a little bit, then there wasn't that just the color rush in the NFL. I didn't like that either. Because it's just too much of one color. But if you could break it up a little bit, it might have been better. And the other thing was, to Blummer's point, when you're watching highlights, I understand that one team's wearing all black uniforms, one team's wearing all white. But instead of both teams being trimmed in silver, use at least one of the colors that's the main color. Like for the Astros, trim it in blue or trim it in orange. And trim the letters. Because one thing, the broadcasters were struggling to find out the numbers and the names on the back. And the other thing was, if you're watching highlights, at least you could differentiate who was playing who instead of just a black team versus the white team.
Could you imagine if Bill Worrell was still calling the game and he couldn't see the numbers on the back? Could you imagine? What do you think he would say? Do your best, Bill Worrell. Go ahead. He's not listening. He's not listening, bro.
No, because
you could do a good Bill Worrell. What would he if he couldn't see the number? Like he's trying to make the call, but he couldn't see the number, and he's like, that number, I don't know.
I mean, at least he'd know the team. So it would just be all about the team. It would be the Rays with an extra base hit, and they've scored a run, and they might be, they're stretching for two, and here comes the throw. But because if you can't see it, and especially you're already struggling, it would be a lot more difficult.
I mean, they've got Bill Worrell seated all the way up front at Toyota. So you can't get any closer.
No, he's not. He's up there with the radio guys.
I know. I was just exaggerating the situation. Yeah, he's not. He's up. He's not where I'm sitting. I'd never see him.
No. Yes, he's up. He's up. Now, up where the radio guys are. Up
at
the top of the first
season?
No, it's been that way.
I've never seen them up there.
Yes. Well, you're not looking hard enough. They move TV up there because when they do the halftime shot of him and Clyde and Bull, they're sitting across the aisle from radio right up there by the club level. Yeah.
I've missed that.
Tad Brown, baby. Tad Brown maximizing profits. He knows he could sell those tickets down low. Move the broadcasters. They don't mean enough. Move them up.
Well, you better give them some binoculars.
Yeah, and as an engineer, it doesn't screw with your day at all.
No. Believe me, and having hired all those engineers for all those years, I know exactly.
Well, they literally take up
tooth and nail, so that's part of the reason why I'm not there.
Well, the engineers, they take up a little part of like the there's like an open seat that's actually supposed to be for fans on that level. You know what I'm talking about? Like a lot of the games when they move them up, there's literally like their board, like all their equipment and stuff is like consuming one of the regular fans.
Sure.
It's not a seat. It's like a stool, like a table with a stool that anybody can approach as long as they have access to that level.
Yeah. I mean, but essentially there's one chair for the engineer, and that's not just for the engineer. That's for the board and for all the
wiring and stuff like that.
So, All right, so that's enough of that. So we'll continue to roll on. We've got plenty more to get to in this final hour of the show. If you want to join us, we're here for you. And again, we want to remind you that if you're thinking about a fantasy football draft or looking for a great place to get to a sports bar, maybe it's to watch the Astros tonight. Maybe it's to get your fantasy football draft together this weekend or to watch some NFL football. You can do it all at Twin Peaks because we always tell you it's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. But I'm telling you right now, we had all of our drafts at Twin Peaks locations, five great locations across the Houston area, and we wouldn't have it anywhere else because of the fact that, first and foremost, I mean, we all know the Twin Peaks grills, they're spectacular. But they're going to take good care of you. And then they've got all these TVs with all the different subscriptions to all the different packages that everybody wants to see. So you can put Astros on one channel. You can put NFL football on another. You can go above and beyond to everything you want to watch. And then when you're looking for eats and drinks, it's 29-degree draft beers. It's made from scratch appetizers and main entrees. And it's all taken care of in a clean, solid environment for all of your sports viewing needs. So check it out whenever you get a chance at one of the five Houston area locations, because there is no better place for any kind of sports fan to watch sports and have a good time with good eats and drinks than Twin Peaks. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's Twin Peaks. You need a taste of your own medicine.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you're just tuning in, shame on you. But if you are, news of the day. Jadeveon Clowney fired his agent.
Yep.
Jadeveon Clowney has met with Brian Flores, the head coach of the Dolphins, and their management, and may be open to a trade with the Dolphins. With that, it has set up a firestorm of rumors. John Granato, the first to break the bus cook being let go as the agent for Jadeveon Clowney. So way to go, John Granato. So that's news of the day. And then there's rumors obviously circulating all over the place because of it. So we'll keep an eye on what goes on there as everybody's chiming in with an opinion
about that. You want some real news?
Sure. A.J. Hoffman's birthday is today.
A.J. Hoffman's birthday is today. And Joe Johnson is named the most valuable player of the 2019 Big Three season.
Sure, the Armadillo Cowboy.
After leading the expansion team, the Triplets, on a championship run in their inaugural season.
The Armadillo Cowboy may, write this down now, may, I would bet, get to try out with another NBA team. Joe Johnson was really, really, really good, and everybody gave up on him after his last season in Houston. But if Joe Johnson can show that he can still run the court, everybody's always known him to be a scorer, someone will put that guy on a roster. You want me? And I'll give you one name, Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz had him before. They loved him. I could see the Utah Jazz, even if he's at the end of the bench, there's a guy as a veteran in the locker room and everything else. Joe Johnson's going to be a guy that Utah wouldn't mind putting on the end of their bench.
38 years old, probably can use him for a situation where you don't play him a ton of minutes, but he obviously has that veteran experience. You know that he's a scorer, like you mentioned, Joel. I mean, the guy has a respectable career. He's just near the end, obviously. If not, he's already, you know. I don't disagree with you. I think he could definitely get another look at by an NBA team. But
I saw that the playoffs were going on in the Big Three. I still can't get into it. But every time I see a game, it's Big Baby, and he looks like he should be playing defensive line for the Texans.
He's big.
God, he's big as a house.
Who was that dude on the plane on the way back from Las Vegas that we were complaining about? Was it Perkins?
Yeah, it was Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, Kendrick Perkins. He's a big dude, too.
Oh, Kendrick Perkins been getting in with everybody, too. He's taking shots at everybody, too. He's taking on anyone on every sports situation. And
he's going at old people on a plane. He's making them put their armrest up and saying, look, I'm a big dude. No armrest for you on this flight, sir.
Well, there's a guy that I wouldn't mess with.
So he's not
from Beaumont.
Is he really?
He's from the 409.
From the 409.
Yep. Keep that in mind when you get lippy. He's from the 409. He stick up for his peeps.
I will never say anything bad about Kendrick Perkins
Beaumont
ever again.
Beaumont Ozen, I believe, is the high school.
Just try not to use the restroom when the plane is taking off, sir. That's all I'm saying.
Hope
That's
I said that saying. Right. Yeah. But he wanted to go after Royce White the other day.
Well, Royce White's White, been a little
very
lippy.
Vocal.
He's been lippy.
Trying to get back in the media.
What's his deal?
I mean, he was playing in the big three, but all of a sudden, you know, first of all, because we know he's always had an issue that he's wanted to talk about in terms of mental health. And when the NBA went out and made the new rule that all teams must have a mental health doctor on staff that the players can have access to, he went, instead of being for it and saying they're making positive change, he said it was just a front. They just wanted attention for it, but it's not even close to how you're supposed to handle the situation. Then he started saying Carmelo Anthony should be back in the NBA, and that LeBron being his boy, he should put him on the Lakers because he's way better than Jared Dudley. To which Kendrick Perkins basically was just like, shut the hell up. And essentially, when Royce White was talking about, and if anybody says any different, I'll slap you. I guarantee you, Royce White, you don't know what you're about to get if you slap Kendrick Perkins. Because he will slap your silly ass all over the place and not even think twice about it.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
He's a big dude. He is huge. Like, he's not just tall, but he's big. I wouldn't mess with Kendrick. I mean, that's the reason why I was tweeting at him from a distance, because I knew... His big ass wouldn't catch me. I quote tweeted him, dude. It was still, dude, we were literally in line to take off. We had to let the other plane go by because his ass was in the bathroom. Yeah, I quote tweeted him. I called his ass out.
Okay.
I mean, shoot. Get your ass in the seat, bro. Like, all right, you're already taking two seats with your big ass. Well, you can't get in your seat at the same time?
I don't know why he's not flying first class. I mean, especially if he's working for ESPN.
No, he even said on Twitter, I'm saving money. Like, I'm saving my money. I'm not doing that.
So they probably gave him a first class ticket and he cashed it back in for coach and collected the difference.
I don't know. All I know is that he wasn't
budget constraints.
He wasn't in first class. That's for sure.
That's where you should have been.
I agree with that.
See?
I agree with that. How do we do that? How do we make that move?
Well, go tell the birthday boy.
I could have upgraded to first class a couple of times. I just never.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's really not that. I'll just deal with.
Last time we were going to Dallas, Fred and AJ were talking about they should have upgraded. I was like, it's Dallas.
I mean, sometimes upgrade is not terrible, but I'm not willing to drop that. I could use that for other things.
You're not making that for
booze.
Power money. All right, Clarence wants to get in here on this clowny trade. Clarence, what's up?
What up, Clarence?
What up, guys?
How you doing, man?
Okay. Got a question. You know how William O'Brien overpaid for Duke Johnson? What are the chances that he will, like, take less to get Jadavian out?
So it's interesting, Clarence, simply because of the fact that if you believe whatever the scuttlebutt we've heard through the rumor mill about Bill O'Brien not being a clowny guy, Brian Gain being a clowny guy, Gain wanting to avoid a trade that was supposedly on the table, when Bill O'Brien basically was ticked off he didn't take it, and that was the crux of why the separation happened. So I think at this point, you could throw the Duke Johnson trade out the window, whether you say that, you know, just Bill's going to learn from that, or for whatever the reason, there was a different scenario than what you're dealing with here. You're dealing here with a guy that was it's about kind of who has the leverage. And I think the Texans continue to lose leverage with every day that this keeps getting later and later into the preseason and closer to the start of the regular season. So I think that they don't have the leverage. But I think that, you know, I think what it's going to come down to is, if you believe some of the people out there that are tweeting and texting saying, hey, the going rate's probably going to be a second-round pick. I think that's kind of light. I would think that they could get a player out of the deal for this year. And I think with their needs, especially with what happened at running back and because we know how bad the offensive line is, that they should at least start discussions to that degree. But I don't think I worry as much about Bill O'Brien being fleeced in a deal like this as I did with the Duke Johnson trade.
I would agree with that too. I don't know what you do with that situation, especially when we don't have no idea of what the hierarchy is in regards to decision making right now. So, I mean... He said overpaid. How much do you think we overpaid?
Well, according to Lance and the NFL sources that he talked to, most teams were saying that if they were going to make a trade for Duke Johnson, it would have been a sixth round pick that could have been upgraded to a fifth round pick based on performance issues that they could goals that could be reached. In essence, because the Texans gave up a fourth that could turn into a third, they overpaid. That's okay. What he was saying.
Okay, that makes more sense.
So,
I mean, contract wise, it's a fair number, right? He signed a 3-year deal with the Browns worth 15.6.
He's already making some money, and the thing is, it all remains to be seen because now with the injury to Lamar Miller, there's a very good chance that obviously he's going to get all those goals, but he's also filling a big need because before you make a move for anybody else to add depth, at least you have a guy that's capable of being a frontline guy.
And been in the league for a few years, so it's not a terrible situation.
Someone texted Kenyon Drake and an offensive lineman for Jadeveon Clowney. Is that too much? Yeah, I don't think Miami's given up anything close to that.
I don't think so either.
And again, all the thing that you can hold your hopes out for is if Brian Flores really does want to get his change the culture, get his kind of players in there, if there are guys that aren't, and maybe Laremy Tunsil's one of those guys, maybe you can find a way to get that.
Laremy Tunsil is an interesting name that you've brought up a number of times, and I like that name. There's nothing that indicates that they're trying to make a move for that guy, though. There's no indicator, no report, no rumor, no nothing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Someone actually said that, I want to say this is Kendrick Perkins, said that he's watched him since he was in the 9th grade. Okay personality, but very prone to ignorant failings. Said he got in a fight with him just recently in a bar down in Beaumont. So I'm telling you, KP, don't mess with him. Quick trigger, short fuse, big guy, not a good combination. With that being said, this is a good combination. It's the usual suspects. We'll be back with the final half hour right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always a pleasure working with Nicholas. He's in for Barry, who's taking a day off. Aaron Raybould, another pleasure there. Appreciate him doing some work for us with us as we continue to roll on. You are getting bigger, not body type-wise. You are getting bigger by the day. You're filling in for Charlie on the regular. You got a fantasy football league that you had a draft at Twin Peaks.
That was fun.
Now you're making appearances.
Yeah, it'll be my third appearance so far. I'll be at Twin Peaks on Saturday. And look, man, it's been fun because meeting some of these listeners has not been weird at all. We talked about it, because we had our appearances back to back to back, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of last week, right? Mm-hmm. Where you did a draft, Barry Laminack did a draft, and I did a draft as well. Right. Mine was in Webster. And they could not have been cooler, dude. I mean,
I loved it.
Yep. I mean, they seemed like a confident bunch, but they were fun. They weren't necessarily cocky. They were fun. So I felt like the group that I had, like, and I was talking to Radu, who's a part of the promotions team.
Yeah, he's an intern.
Part of the promotions team. And he said, dude, the only thing about, he's like, I can see how it could be kind of weird is that you're drafting with people that are not your friends. So you can't talk that trash that you would normally talk if you were drafting with your friends. But I felt like I could have.
Did you have we had a little.
I could have mixed it up a little bit with some of them.
Now, I knew Clarence. And I knew Jason Hebert and Courtney and her fiance who had a team, but then you could tell by what some of the guys were wearing and some of those things you could and some of their picks. So there was a little bit of banter going back and forth.
Yeah,
but I feel you, but I also thought that we had some.
Right, it wasn't brutal, but it seemed like a good group. I mean, a lot of them, like you mentioned, we talk about these listeners that don't interact with us on social media or on Twitter, but they're.
They know the show. They know
all
our tendencies.
And that's what we get. That's what I felt like. My group, like Hunter, for example, he doesn't necessarily interact via Twitter. He texts the line. Barry Laminack, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said that he recognized that name and the fact that he would interact with us. And he's always in his car. And that's the cool thing. I get to meet some of these people who are always in the car. Uber Mike, that was really cool.
That's very cool because we've heard from him a lot.
He still owns the fact that he's rocking the suspect's audio. No matter who's a passenger in his Uber, he does not care. If you're going to catch a ride with Uber Mike, you're listening to The Usual Suspects. He doesn't care, and I appreciate that.
Love that. By the way, the shirts are in.
They are.
Now, we're not going to give you any more details than that. Just know that we've given you the parameters of where you can obtain one, but the shirts are in. So you should probably stay very, very in tune with what we tell you about where they might be available, like what we just kind of said.
After our snafu, and it was a very minor snafu with the t-shirts, we were able to get it fixed actually really, really quickly. And so now we have an opportunity to share some of that love. And
I got killed for catching that.
Why?
Because of the fact that there were people that thought...
The fact that it didn't have the ESPN thing on there?
Yeah, if it's an ESPN shirt, it doesn't have ESPN on it. I was like,
yeah,
I don't think anybody's mad at anybody.
Thank you for catching that.
Yeah, you want to get that out there before they get distributed and everybody goes, well, where can I hear those guys?
Who gave you heat?
I'm not going to say that.
It was Courtney, because Courtney hates you.
No, it was not Courtney at all. I actually helped her through the process of getting the shirts fixed.
All right. Well, throw this person under the bus. Go ahead. Spit it. Who is it?
I'm not saying anything about Ferry on a day off. So ESPN's top bullet point, Dolphins interested in making deal for Clowney. The great sentence is the Texans have interest in Dolphins left tackle Laremy Tunsil.
Hey-o.
The bad sentence is the Dolphins are believed to be unlikely to part with him in a Clowney deal.
Just like you expected, sir.
When we
go back to the leverage, the negotiating leverage. I don't know if I'm the Dolphins, I'm giving up all that. I don't know if I'm doing that. And I can see why I would hesitate if I am Miami.
But I'm saying that because of where we are, the draft is a year away. No one's going to help you with a draft pick for this season,
nope.
And you have needs. I would say that in any deal, you need to get a player that can help you this season, whether it be secondary, offensive line, receiver, running back, whatever. You need to get at least one player that can help you this year, and then you can worry about the draft picks, in my humble opinion. Now, I don't know if that because they're not really in as strong of a bargaining position as you'd like to see, that if that's possible or not. But if I have my druthers to say what I'd love to see, that's what I'd love to see.
Yeah, I don't know how much leverage you can manufacture against this Miami team. Perhaps you make some phone calls to random teams and then go back to Miami and say this is what they offer. Perhaps you can manufacture some leverage right now in that regard, but I don't know. I mean, this seems like a desperate move more than anything, with the exit of Brian Gain being their general manager, and the fact that there's like this quote unquote collective group of people serving as the general manager for the Texans. That seems to be the story of the day. Clowney fired his agent, Buzz Cook,
yep,
who's represented so many good players over the years. I did see a tweet from Aaron Wilson from the Chronicle saying that this was something he contemplated for a while and that it wasn't something he took lightly, that he's been thinking about getting rid of Buzz Cook, perhaps from the frustrations he's had over the course of, I don't know, several weeks regarding his contract situation. But
well, he's been talking contract for a long time. Whenever he said anything, he said, one, I'm not giving anybody a discount, especially the Texans, and two, I want to be paid like the guys in my draft class, Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack. I've said from the get-go, I don't think he's worth that. And again, Buzz Cook can only do so much. If the teams aren't going to open up the purse strings and tell you that they're willing to give what your client wants, can you find a happy medium that your client's going to be happy with? And if you can't, then you get to the end of the road like they did here.
Right. And he's repping good players. Most cases, he does have that leverage because he's representing good players. Yeah. You know?
We mentioned the fact that from Brett Favre to Calvin Johnson, he's had his share of really good players. So it's not his first rodeo. And again, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. If a team's not willing to give you the money that you're looking for, then you've got a harsh reality in trying to tell your player you're not worth what you think you are, and or you're not going to get what you think you should get, and that's going to be a tough conversation to have.
Why doesn't Clowney pull a Clyde Drexler and represent himself?
I just saw recently that somebody else represented themselves, that they would either have to get an agent quickly, or that they were going to negotiate a deal to represent themselves. It's very rare that you get players
totally
that do
facetious.
That.
Yeah. I don't think Clowney should represent himself in any way, shape, or form, but I mean...
Yeah, but there are players out there that still rep themselves, which is interesting. Fantasy football news for you guys that are out there like us playing fantasy football leagues. DeSean Jackson broke the ring finger on his hand today, but they don't expect him to miss any time. If you're an Eagles fan, have him on your roster. And, of course, there's Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton. As we all know, he hurt his foot in that exhibition game against the Patriots. Ron Rivera saying today there's no doubt in his mind Cam Newton will be ready for the September 8th opener against the L.A. Rams.
Yeah, so there was some other news and notes, too. We mentioned Julio Jones and the fact that they're still not at a deal with in terms of his contract with the Falcons, but also the center for the Patriots, who I believe it was David Andrews. Hold on, let me look. He has a blood clot in his lungs, which it turns out to be a really serious situation, probably season ending, maybe even career ending. And he's been a guy that's been an integral part of that O-line, protecting Tom Brady for quite some time. So it was kind of an all of a sudden situation. But there's some NFL news and notes for you. There's some things. Football's here. Yeah, you know, it's pretty much here.
We mentioned the Dolphins, too, and you know, we talked about it getting close to being cut-down day. But in the meantime, some teams are getting ahead of the game. Packers cut their former second-round pick, Josh Jones, who's a safety that had been very disgruntled being there to kind of give him a chance to hook up with somebody else. At the same time, we mentioned the Dolphins. The Dolphins cut four players. See if any of these guys ring a bell to you, Nicholas, as they cut former starting defensive tackle Akeem Spence, reserve linebacker Chase Allen, tight end Clive Walford, and recently signed right tackle Jordan Mills.
Jordan Mills.
Again, if you're the Texans and you are looking to kick the tires on players that aren't going to cost you anything because you know how putrid your offensive line is, wouldn't it be in your best interest to at least check out Jordan Mills, bring him in, work him out, see what he's got, to see if he's better than what you already have on your roster? Just saying.
I would work him out. I wouldn't. I'm with you. I don't see why you don't at least give him a gander, right? At least look at what he could potentially do and how he could potentially fit in this crazy-ass offense that Bill O'Brien has derived. But, I mean, there's what was the other one? Isn't Hakeem Spence a defensive tackle?
Defensive tackle,
okay.
So, yeah, but I mean, you know, a guy that's been in the league, drafted in 2013 in the fifth round, but, you know, a guy that's he knows the NFL, and again, he can't be any worse than what you got, and you're not paying anything to get him in here to give him a tryout. Check him out and see what he's got. See maybe if he can help you, because it's important, because right now that offensive line is putrid and they need to address it, whether it be the Clowney trade or otherwise. And the time is now before the season starts, before it gets to be too late, because now you're going to get teams that aren't going to be willing to do anything once they start focusing on the rest of the season. So,
and the other thing is, too, because I read this little a portion of this piece by Charlie Casserly on NFL.com. Apparently, GMs, they grade you, they evaluate your players after every practice to kind of see what they would do in terms of moves. Those are the type of guys that you can evaluate after each practice. Give them a gander, give them a workout, like you mentioned, and you can see what they could potentially bring to the table. So I'm open for that.
There you have it. So we've got one segment to go before we turn it over to the Blitz. Blitz is going to take you till 7. Aaron's going to work all day, all night, maybe tomorrow.
Last segment?
Uh-huh. We've flown through this show. Hasn't it been great?
It has. See? It has. But for those of you who didn't enjoy it, Barry Laminack will be back tomorrow.
Should be back tomorrow. That's good stuff. Before we head to the break, too, I want to tell you about my friends at Infuse Energy. I speak for them for a reason. I made the switch to Infuse Energy about 3 years ago. I just re-upped with them because why wouldn't I? They've saved me thousands of dollars off of my energy bills with my previous company, and they do it because they show you that they care. They talk to you personally. They ask you questions. They find out when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business or your family? They go from there until they can find you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can give you. They're so honest that there's going to be that rare occasion that there's another company out there that can beat their rates and prices. They're going to let you know who it is because they never want to screw you over. They always want you to have that feeling you can trust them, and that's the most important thing to the people at Infuse Energy. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. 100% green energy at your fingertips, and they're going to take care of you along the way. You can check them out at InfuseEnergy.com, or better yet, call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5 on that phone call. You're going to get a $25 bill credit, and they're going to go from there. I'm telling you, folks, I switched. You should, too. Infuse Energy into your life.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we always like to do, we give back to the suspects. We appreciate you guys supporting us, so we support you with giveaways like this one. The annual Texas Southern University Prairie View A&M Labor Day Classic Games coming up Saturday, August 31st, BBVA Stadium. Watch the TSU Tigers as they take on the defending champs, the Prairie View A&M Panthers. You want two tickets to the game? Well, we're here to give them to you. Caller number 12 wins a pair of tickets to the game. That's 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Caller 12, you get two tickets to the game. And if you don't win them, you can also buy them $20 for the tickets, available online at bbvastadium.com or walk up to the stadium box office.
Caller number 12 right now.
There you have it. Aaron Wilson reporting Dolphins not willing to include Tunsil in any prospective trade scenarios involving Clowney.
Not a shocker.
Texans need help at running back, he adds, in addition to offensive tackle. Maybe he's hinting Kenyon Drake or someone like that may be in play. I don't know.
You were asking about the running backs on that depth chart. Kenyon Drake, Kalen Ballage, Mark Walton, Miles Gaskin. Any of those names?
None of them except for Drake. And it sounds like with that roster that they're not going to part with a guy like Kenyon Drake. I'd rather have him than Stills.
Yep.
But interesting to see which way they go there, because as we highlighted yesterday, Stills is a guy that has knelt for the anthem. So if Cal McNair decides to carry on the tradition of the way Texans feel about bringing in players that will stir the pot at all, doesn't look like that's a scenario. So if they can't get Drake and they can't get Stills, then who can they get?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine whoever's representing Jadeveon Clowney now and teams.
Right? I mean, how do they do that?
How does that work?
If you get rid of Bus Cook,
that's what I'm saying.
You got to be getting some guidance. Otherwise, I guess it's pretty cut and dried. This year, you just sign the franchise tag. So this year, you don't need the agent as much as you're going to need him in going forward.
I would imagine if you're an athlete and you're not happy with your agent or your representation, you're going around calling other players that you're perhaps friends with, maybe on the same team, but maybe on teams around the league, saying, hey, man, what do you think of your agent? What do you think of your representation? Oh, man, I love my guy. Go with this guy. So I would imagine that maybe he had somebody in mind already, but maybe there's some sort of interim situation.
Dude, I don't know.
In terms of his reputation.
You want to talk about a potential situation that either could bury Bill O'Brien even further in a lot of people's minds or save the day from those that think he overpaid to get Duke Johnson. It depends on what happens with this deal and what happens between now and the start of the regular season to finally, almost in a panic mode, address what should have been addressed in the offseason, which was the line. The secondary looks to be a little less than stellar. They obviously have a need at running back now and depth at the wide receiver. So we'll see how he handles all these things, because he's going to be, you know, critiqued on everything he does. And obviously the microscope's gone high based on what he's done recently and the fact that he's put himself in this position to be the guy.
Does it seem surprising that the Texans are having this issue right now going into week one, or the Rockets not, you know, because like the Rockets would probably have a situation if Russell Westbrook wasn't a Houston Rocket right now, right? I would imagine the beef between Chris Paul and James Harden would be at a point where they would just be acting like they like each other. Are you surprised that the Texans are the team right now that are dealing with these issues? But honestly, we kind of expected it. Clowney's been pretty vocal about wanting to get paid. I mean,
yeah, it's nothing that they should feel caught him off guard. But at the same time, because of the fact that obviously, and again, when Bill O'Brien's trying to do two jobs at the same time, once camp starts, we already talked about how inaccessible he was going to be for so many reasons. Now, they were adamant about saying he was the guy that made the deal with the Browns for Duke Johnson. So he found time. It's going to be a big, big, big week for him between now and the start of the regular season, because with cuts happening and players that they should be targeting or that they should be interested in, and then trying to get in contact with them and their agents and bringing them in and doing all these different things, it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take him away from a lot of things that he probably wanted to do with this football team. So either that staff, he better be able to trust them and turn some stuff over to them, or he's going to be working double duty and he might as well just be ready to be sleeping at the stadium.
Yeah. Obviously, that's the news of the day, but Jadeveon Clowney, that situation seems like a whirlwind. I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow comes around, because you mentioned before, earlier in the show, that you don't think the deal, there's a, you know, you kind of have a feeling that it probably, they would wait on pulling the trigger on a deal just yet. But I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow comes around and we're not talking about the Miami Dolphins being a team of interest and that there's some completely different team that Clowney is now speaking with or has met with, because that's just the way these negotiations kind of go now, especially with the advent of, and I'm not surprised that the Dolphins are, you know, reports of the Dolphins not wanting to let go of Tunsil, which makes makes sense considering the negotiating leverage part of things. But yeah,
it'll be an interesting scenario to see, because obviously there's a lot of moving parts right now over there on Kirby, and the least of which is what's going to happen against the Rams on Thursday night at NRG. It's more circling around Clowney, the line, running back, secondary, wide receiver depth, and the fact that whatever they did to make the moves to bring these players in and get their roster set, it's definitely anything but that, and they've got a lot of work to do with working the waiver wire and checking to see who gets cut around the league and what deals can be made. So they can try and do some things. People are out there suggesting, would you trade Nick Martin to the Patriots because of the need that you mentioned, potential need for a center, for a draft pick or two, because they have so many picks. I mean, the better question is, would New England want him? You know, because obviously Bill O'Brien likes to pick and choose off of the Patriots roster in their front office because he knows them.
It's not vice versa, though.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, someone else said, okay, how about trade Clowney to the Lions for a second-round pick and C.J. Anderson? C.J. Anderson you could have had as a free agent if you wanted to sign him. Second-round pick is good for next year. I don't know if that does much for me.
Yeah, because you had an opportunity to capitalize on that. Obviously, they were in a different place as a team at that point than they are now. So maybe C.J. Anderson becomes a little bit more interesting. I don't know. But they were obviously in a different place when they made that decision not to sign. So at least you got the Astros, right?
The Astros tonight in a big one. Should be fun to watch. Verlander against Charlie Morton. That should be entertaining. Obviously, keep an eye on the Texans. Keep your ears on the Blitz. They're coming up next. It is Fred. It is Aaron. It is AJ. AJ's birthday. So again, 5353 Alabama if you want to drop off presents. Otherwise, they're accepting alcohol at all times as they continue to take you home on your business day all the way till 7 o'clock. For Aaron Rabel, thank you. We appreciate you. Nick Sciarra, obviously always appreciate you. We appreciate you, the suspects, listening as well. I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow, ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.